This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And welcome to a special edition of Nevada Newsmakers, and we're joined by the Minority Leader of the United States Senate, Harry Reid. Pleasure to have you here, Senator, as always. Congressman John Murtha called last week for the pullout of 153,000 American troops from Iraq within 6 months. The White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan said that Mr. Murtha was endorsing the policy positions of Michael Moore and the extreme liberal wing of the Democratic Party. What's your response to that?
Well, John Murtha is a decorated Vietnam veteran, several Purple Hearts, joined the service during the Korean conflict. No one is closer to uniformed services in the entire Congress than John Murtha. John Murtha did this because he thought it was the right thing, and I think it goes without saying that the generals support what he's doing. No one's closer to them than he is. We need not try to denigrate John Murtha. I don't agree with him entirely. I do agree that the situation in Iraq has gotten very difficult. We've lost 2,100 soldiers and Marines. We've had about 17,000 wounded, about a third of them grievously wounded. It's costing us up to $2.5 billion a week. And the attacks were 200 a week. Now they're 600 a week. A year ago, 200 a week. Now they're 600. And keep in mind, we have two problems. One is the insurgents, and the second is the terrorists. So the president had a very bad week. On a bipartisan vote, the Senate last week indicated that we have to change our course in Iraq, that the year 2006 will be a year of transition, and it will be.
I was going to say, the question that doesn't seem to come up is, what happens to the Iraqi oil? If we pull out, what's the situation there?
Iraqi oil is protected. You know, you have the Kurds who are the military part of that country. I don't think we have to worry about the oil. The problem is, with our being there, oil production has not increased. It was supposed to go up to 6 million barrels a day. It's still at 2 million barrels a day. We haven't done anything to improve the infrastructure there. We've wasted billions of dollars. And as Congressman Murtha and others have said, we're the target anymore, and that isn't the way it should be. The Iraqis need to take off the training wheels. They need to be able to run their own country. That's a country that's been in existence since 1920. And our being there certainly has not been help. I'm happy to see we've had a couple of elections. I think that's a step in the right direction. But they're arriving at a point in the near future where they're going to have to take care of their own country.
Senator, Iraqi leaders have called for a timetable for withdrawal, and here we have Representative Murtha calling for immediate withdrawal. What should we do? How do we separate ourselves from this mess in Iraq?
I think we're going to have to recognize that we're going to be involved in the area for some time. I think that combat troops will come out in the very near future. Then we will have to get especially the European community, which have had, especially France, have had such strong ties in Iraq over the decades, get them to come in and help. We'll have United Nations peacekeeping forces in there. And I think once we're out and we're no longer the target, we're not the occupying force, I think there will be relative stability there, and hopefully they can become a signal to what the rest of that Middle East, which is composed of some of the most tyrannical governments in the world. If with a little bit of good fortune on our side, maybe Iraq can come out of this a lot better than when it went in. We're all glad that Saddam Hussein's gone.
Lawmakers voted 79-19 for a Republican plan to seek new quarterly reports on matters like the number of Iraqi troops ready to take the lead in combat operations. Why did we do that now? Why weren't we doing that all along?
Well, of course, that wasn't a Republican plan, Sam. That was the bill that I spent with a number of senators 4 or 5 days coming up with, that amendment. And we offered an amendment, and they took off our last paragraph, and that was our amendment. That's something we've been asking the president. I've written letters. I've spoken to the president. We need a timetable where we require the Iraqis to meet certain things, and then once they do that, it means that we have to do certain things. The president is very stubborn on this. He has refused to do anything other than stay the course. He and Cheney are still talking about staying the course, if you can imagine that, when by an overwhelming vote, as you've indicated, 79 senators, Democrats and Republicans, said the year 2006 is a year of significant transition, and the purpose of the amendment was to change course in Iraq. He's ignored that.
Well, Senator, recently Vice President Cheney has been lashing out at Democrats who have been saying that the Bush administration misled the nation in this rush to war. He's saying that's a dishonest charge. He's also saying that some politicians are seeking a political advantage in the middle of the war. He made a reference to you in one of his speeches. What say you, Senator, about Dick Cheney?
Well, he's made a reference to me in more than one of his speeches. Vice President Cheney, I think, is the only person who believes what he's saying. That's why his approval rating in this country is in the low 20s. People just don't believe President Bush or Vice President Cheney anymore. All the polls show more than 60% of the people simply don't believe them, don't trust them. And so they're talking about staying the course. Here's what we have. We know there was no yellow cake. We know there were no aluminum tubes. We know that Saddam was not training people, Al-Qaeda in Europe. In Iraq. There were no secret meetings in Europe. There were no mobile labs. We know that anyone that questioned them, they went after them as they did with Ambassador Wilson. He's only one of many. And that's why I closed down the Senate. They had been doing the rope-a-dope for 20 months. We're entitled to find out how the evidence was manipulated to take us to war. That's what phase two is all about. That's why I closed down the Senate. And from there, it's been downhill for the president. We've had this overwhelming vote in the Senate. You had this situation with mirth in the House. We have to change course. The president should sit down with Cheney and realize that we're just catching up with the American people, and they're way behind the American people in what problems they see us in Iraq.
But to just raise one point, you were quoted on a website as saying on CNN in 2002 that Saddam Hussein, in effect, has thumbed his nose at the world community, and I think that the president is approaching this in the right fashion. So back then, you were on the same page.
There's no question that Saddam Hussein was thumbing his nose. But what we didn't know at the time is the evidence we were given was been manipulated. The evidence I had was wrong. I didn't know that. We don't have our own fact-finding within the Senate. The CIA, the Department of Defense Intelligence Agency, all this 15 different intelligence gathering operations, the president controls. They knew what the evidence was. We didn't. So for them to come up with something like this, they should say that in a positive sense, that I wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein. I have no hesitation about wanting to get rid of Saddam Hussein. But the evidence we had about this would be a quick war, don't worry about it, we'll be driving on the boulevards, they'll be throwing bouquets at us, bombs is what the men throwing at us. There was no plan to win the peace. And as a result of that, Rumsfeld's failed policy that a small strike force would take care of things. We didn't have to worry about Saddam's army. Well, Saddam's army is where all the insurgents are coming from, and some of the terrorists.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with the Minority Leader of the United States Senate, Harry Reid, after this.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Peppermill family of casinos.
Here at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we focus on attracting high-tech companies to Northern Nevada. One vital amenity provided to companies at TRI is a connection to a complete digital fiber network. This gives the ability of unlimited bandwidth and voice services to every business. And what's charged for the installation of this valuable asset? Nothing. Zero. Nada. And that's a pretty good deal. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
The resort at Red Hawk offers you two great dining choices. Experience David's Grill and Sports Bar or the Steakhouse at Red Hawk. The Steakhouse has received the Wine Spectator Award of Excellence based on a diverse selection of fine wines. To accompany the wines, the Steakhouse serves certified Angus beefsteaks in a variety of cuts, fresh fish, chicken, and pasta dishes. For fun and casual dining, come to David's Grill and Sports Bar. David's is open 7 days a week, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The resort at Red Hawk, always the right choice.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
My family started this business 27 years ago.
We work hard to serve our customers and our community.
But it's getting harder and harder to keep the doors open.
For example, our workers' comp is going through the roof.
Isn't anyone on my side anymore?
The Retail Association of Nevada is. If you're a small business owner, we can cut your workers' comp by up to 50%. Lobby for your interests and keep you informed. Put us to work today.
Back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with Harry Reid, who is the Minority Leader of the United States Senate, and of course our Senator from Nevada. Let's talk about the oil company executives that were paraded in front of Congressional Committee. Senator Ted Stevens wouldn't allow the oil company heads to be put under oath. You said you wanted to recall all the executives and question them under oath. He also linked the issue of their role in setting energy policy with the recent surge in oil, or you did rather, with the recent surge in oil profits. I guess one question that has come up from a lot of conservatives and libertarians is, since when is it illegal to make a profit in this country?
Well, I think you should go back and ask President Bush number one. President Bush number one, when he thought the profits were obscene, he picked up the telephone, called all the oil companies, said, back off, and they did. What we're seeing now is, I'm a believer in the free enterprise system. But remember, if you carry Adam Smith's theory to its end, you wind up with one of everything. And that's all this consolidation taking place with airlines and oil companies. It's getting narrower and narrower all the time. The profits that they're making are obscene. $100 billion this year in profits, these oil companies. That's too much. And when we find, especially, they're manipulating the supply so they can increase prices. It's just like the same with Enron. And manipulate the, if you have less electricity, you can charge more for it. If you have less oil, you can charge more for it. So I think they should be put under oath and sworn, and I think one reason they are afraid to do that, remember one of them said, we don't care if you do this, and as soon as we walked out, we said we're going to do it, and they want to come back and talk some more. They don't think it's such a good idea to proceed as we have. I think the oil companies are a sign of what's wrong with monopolistic enterprises.
But and I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I mean, if you look at bottled water, for example, the price per gallon of bottled water far exceeds the cost
of plastic. Sam, you don't have to drink bottled water. You can drink it out of your tap, and it's just as good as bottled water. But you have to buy gasoline for your car. You have to buy heating oil for your home. 50%, 48% of the homes are heated with natural gas. This year, those prices will go up about 70%, a little too much, I think.
Senator.
Especially when you understand the supply is the same.
But it is a commodity.
It's being manipulated. That's what government's all about.
Okay. Senator, as a student of history and someone who has given his life to politics, where would you rate our current President Bush among all the presidents?
I've already done that. Millard Fillmore, the 13th president of the United States, one of the worst we've ever had. That's where I put him.
Right at the bottom of the list?
Well, there may be somebody worse than Millard Fillmore. I just can't come up with it.
What about since World War II in modern history, which more people might understand?
First of all, your viewers have to understand, I think Ronald Reagan was a great president.
Uh-huh.
I think George Bush, number one, really a fine, fine president. So I don't do this on a partisan basis, but I've worked with these people. And this administration has been my way or the highway, uncompromising and perfect examples, trying to destroy Social Security, trying to destroy the Senate as we've known it with this foolish nuclear option, and now the war in Iraq. And there are other things. I think this administration will go down in history as one of the worst.
And let's take a break. We'll be back with Harry Reid right after this timeout.
For a videotape copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The tapes are $20 each, including shipping.
Since its creation more than a decade ago, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has focused on three goals: preserving water quality, improving water conservation in Southern Nevada, and meeting the community's current and future water needs. Through thoughtful planning, responsible management, and collaboration, it's succeeding. As we move into the 21st century, the authority continues to embrace sustainable water development and efficient water use. That's our promise to Nevada.
I tell you, John, this industry has really changed.
Tell me about it.
You seemed to do pretty well last year. What's your secret?
No secrets. Although I'll tell you something. The smartest thing I did was sign up with Pro Group Management.
Really? Yeah, they do workers' comp, right?
Yeah, their services are great. And get this, they saved me 30%. I've heard they saved others 50%.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Finally, workers' comp that works for you.
Reno's best dining values are all at one casino, the Peppermill. You can enjoy great savings on our popular specials. Peppermill's coffee shop offers daily lunch specials, low-carb dining, and all your favorite comfort foods. You'll find sensational lunch specials featuring Reno's freshest seafood, sushi, pasta, and more at Oceano. And early bird specials at Reno's premier steakhouse and Romanza Ristorante Italiano. The best values are at the Peppermill. Where are you dining?
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back here with the Minority Leader of the United States Senate, Senator Harry Reid. Let's talk about an issue that's come up over the last couple of days. A government watchdog group has asked Congress to investigate whether lawmakers broke ethics rules by taking action that benefited lobbyist Jack Abramoff's tribal clients while accepting political donations from the lobbyists or the tribes. Democracy 21 urged the House and Senate Ethics Committees to investigate following an AP story that last week found several members of Congress intervened with letters to Interior Secretary Gail Norton within days of receiving large contributions from tribes represented by the lobbyist or using Abramoff's restaurant for fundraising. The lawmakers urged Norton to reject the Jenna tribe of Choctaw Indians' bid for a new casino in Louisiana. Some of Abramoff's tribal clients wanted to stop the project because it would compete with their casinos. And on the list included House Speaker Dennis Hastert and yourself, Senator.
I think the Ethics Committee should look into this. I think that John McCain and Byron Dorgan's Indian Affairs Committee in the Senate should look into it. I think it's totally appropriate. I think it should be done. But as far as Indian gaming, as you know, I've led the charge against Indian gaming over the last 15 years. More, actually, it's been longer than that. So I've written lots of letters about Indian gaming, Class 3, you know, to casino-type gaming. So I welcome any investigation. I think it would be good. I don't think we know yet of the tentacles of Abramoff, how he corrupted and attempted to corrupt government.
Do you have any kind of relationship with him?
Never met him, never been to his restaurant.
Fair enough.
Senator, a recent Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee report shows that Nevada Senator John Ensign has voted with the Bush administration's agenda 100% of the time in 2004. Now, you just got done criticizing the Bush agenda. What do you think about your friend Senator
Ensign? What was my percent of with the Bush administration?
I did not look
this
that up.
This has just turned into a comedy show.
It was about zero.
John Ensign and I work very well together. We don't criticize each other privately or publicly. And John Ensign's voting record is John Ensign's voting record, mine is mine, but I would never ever comment on his voting record.
But Senator, what about the Congress as a whole? It seems that it's controlled by Republicans, and it's with the Bush administration, it's almost like a Stepford Congress, that what the administration lays out, Congress votes it.
I think what you're finding in recent weeks, that's changing. I think that, for example, J.D. Hayworth, one of the leaders of the Republicans in the House, said he wouldn't want to be seen publicly with President Bush.
Yes, he did.
Rick Santorum changed his schedule so he would not have to be seen with President Bush in Pennsylvania. They couldn't pass the labor HHS bill. They lost Republicans on that. You've got Tom DeLay, who's been indicted, convicted of ethics violations four times. You've got the majority leader in the Senate under investigation civilly and criminally. You have the man in charge of letting contracts for the White House, $300 billion worth each year. He's led away in handcuffs, the first time in 135 years that a member of the White House has been indicted, White House personnel. I mean, you know, this ship is crumbling around them, and you're going to have Republicans, House, Senate members running from this administration because when somebody's approval rating, like Cheney's, is in the 20s, he's not somebody you want to go have dinner with.
I understand that some of Bin Laden's numbers are higher at this point, but that's just a poll I heard.
I heard today that he may have died in the earthquake that they had in Pakistan, seriously.
Really?
Uh-huh. And if that's the case, I'm still certainly wish anyone harm, but if that's the case, that's good for the world.
Indeed. The previous portion of this conversation, to capture Congress in next year's midterm elections, you need to pick up 6 seats in the Senate and 16 in the House, a modest swing by post-war standards. And it's in the 6th year of a presidency that we can all acknowledge is not having a good time. What do you think the chances are of being able to recapture either of the houses?
Well, a year ago, it would have been very difficult. Now it's not going to be as difficult. All of our incumbent Democratic senators are ahead by at least 10 points. Our challengers in Pennsylvania, Santorum's behind by 18 points. In Ohio, the Republican governor's approval rating is the lowest in the history of polling, 11%. I think we're going to pick up that seat. We have a real good shot in Montana, Arizona, Missouri, Rhode Island, Tennessee, and we're looking at some states that we weren't going to look at before, like Utah and Mississippi.
And what about John Porter's seat?
Well, you know, the House is somebody else's responsibility. I have a lot to do in the
I believe
Senate,
you just ducked, Senator.
But John Porter will have an opponent.
Senator Osama.
Actually, if we may, thank you for at least adding that. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more with Minority Leader of the United States Senate, Harry Reid, right after this.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
How long does it take to get to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park? Well, it's just 10 minutes east of Reno Sparks on Highway 80, just minutes from the airport. And under construction is an interchange linking I-80 to TRI's four-lane USA Parkway. And soon, this parkway will connect Interstate 80 to Highway 50. How far is the world's largest industrial center from your home? It's a lot closer than you think. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
The resort at Red Hawk offers you 2 great dining choices. Experience David's Grill and Sports Bar or the Steakhouse at Red Hawk. The Steakhouse has received the Wine Spectator Award of Excellence based on a diverse selection of fine wines. To accompany the wines, the Steakhouse serves certified Angus beefsteaks in a variety of cuts, fresh fish, chicken, and pasta dishes. For fun and casual dining, come to David's Grill and Sports Bar. David's is open 7 days a week, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The resort at Red Hawk. Always the right choice.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back with Harry Reid, the Minority Leader of the United States Senate. Judge Alito, is his nomination going to be filibustered?
I don't think that at this stage there's any way of knowing. The longer that we look at him, the more problems he has. You know, a couple days ago he said he's against a one-man, one-vote decision of the court in 1964. I can't imagine how he could come up with that, as smart as he is. There are some problems, of course, of how he feels about women, and not the abortion issue necessarily, but, you know, violence against women, sexual abuse. There are just a lot of problems with him. The disability community is very concerned. And so what we're going to do is wait until the hearings before Democrats are going to make up our mind as to what we're going to do. With Roberts' nomination, which was a preceding one, Democrats split about down the middle.
And you voted against?
Yes, I voted against him, but he was a wonderful guy, a nice man, I think a lot of him. I called him a day before I decided I was going to vote against him. After I decided I was going to vote against him, I called him a day before the actual vote, and I said, I'm not going to be able to vote for you. He said, oh, that's too bad. He said, I was hoping you would. He said, I'll tell you what, though, we're going to sit down a year or two and have a cup of coffee, and I'll prove to you why you were wrong. I mean, isn't that a great attitude?
But so why did you vote against him?
I think that I'm very concerned about John Roberts. I think that what's happening with his court, you know, in years past, about 40% of the people who serve on the court were not judges. And I think it's created a more open court. Supreme Court justices themselves have told me that. And here now you have to be a graduate of Harvard or Yale and be an appellate judge. I don't like that. I agree with Laura Bush. Sandra Day O'Connor's replacement should be a woman. We need more variety on that court. And so with some of the statements that Justice Roberts made, I was afraid that he was going to be driven too far to the right. I hope he's right. I hope we can sit down and he can say that I was wrong and he was right, but we'll see.
You know, Senator Harriet Meyer, she was not part of the Harvard-Yale Potomac in crowd. She was from Texas.
And she wound up in the garbage can. The radical right, as Jack Danforth, Republican senator from Missouri, said, and Bush's ambassador to the United Nations, said that it proved that the radical right had taken over the White House, and that does not represent what Republicans want. And President Bush, he said, I hope he doesn't reward them for their bad conduct, and he did with Judge Alito. Jack Danforth is right. What's happened to the court is wrong. We need to get a more open court.
Now, Senator, we have President Bush's administration around for about three more years, and you know, I agree with you that you can kind of draw a parallel to a 1-10 football team, and if you're a football coach, you get rid of your staff. Can the president rebound by cleaning house?
What's happened here? He's following the pattern of Nixon. When Nixon got in trouble with Watergate and all the problems in Vietnam, he hunkered down in the White House, started traveling around the world. Ronald Reagan, when he got in trouble with Iran-Contra and the people who were in trouble in his administration, he cleaned house. And the last 3 years of the Reagan administration were his best years. I think that this president should follow the Reagan model, not the Nixon model, but he is hunkering down in the White House and at this stage following the Nixon model. If he came out of this and got rid of Karl Rove and some others, I would look forward to working with him and see if we could do things on a bipartisan basis. Remember, when he came to Washington, he said he wanted to be a uniter and not a divider.
Right.
To this point, the first 5 years have been Orwellian. It's been anything but trying to unite the country. He's tried to, and he's done a good job of dividing it.
And that's where we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with our remaining moments with Senator Reid right after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Peppermill family of casinos.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beers, and martinis, it's Sully's Sports Bar, Grill, and Nightclub. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun. South Virginia and Amati Ranch Parkway.
35 seconds left with Senator Reid here. Internet gaming, Terry Lanny on 60 Minutes wants to be able to take some of the billions of dollars that are being spent illegally by United States citizens on out-of-the-country websites. Are we going to see a change?
Not if I have anything to do with it. I think it's awful. I think we should forget about it. It's not controllable. It would allow children to gamble.
The British have legalized it?
Yeah, let them legalize it. I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. I think it's bad. No way to control it. As former chairman of the Gaming Commission, no way to control it.
And we are out of time.
That's
Senator Reid, always a pleasure. We'll be right back next on our...